Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I want to show you something very important, because once you understand this, you will never look at history the same way ever again. You might then begin to seriously wonder how many of the quotes bad guys in history are really bad, and how many of them are the good guys. So let me explain some background to the short video that you're about to see. What happened in America was this. People in the white right were busy investigating the history of the Jews and all the naughty, naughty, naughty things that the Jews got up to. And they discovered that Jews played an enormous role in slavery, in the slavery of blacks. They discovered that the main owners of the ships that were shipping blacks from Africa to America and to South America, that the owners of these ships were Jews, that Jews were the main buyers and sellers of blacks. If you look on the screen, you'll see some details about this. For example, on the left-hand side, you'll see names of ships and who owned them and their ethnicity. So Jews owned tons and tons of slave ships. They dominated the slave trade. They dominated the European slave trade regardless of the numbers of ships owned by whites, regardless of which country was trading slaves. Jews were dominating and beating the whites everywhere. It's a lot like modern society, where Jews go and grab the biggest and richest things in society and they dominate that like crazy. So Jews were dominating this business long time ago. And here are the two-faced, hypocritical Jews turning around and nowadays trying to get blacks to kill whites. Meanwhile, if you look on the screen and you look at that advert on the right, there is an advert from 1859 from a Jew by the name of J.F. Moses, and he's advertising, Negroes, Negroes, he's got a cargo of blacks to sell, and he tells you that they've just arrived and that there are 40 of these Negroes and all the details about these Negroes that he wants to sell. So this is the stuff that was uncovered by whites in the white right. Then these whites happened to mention to some blacks, to some black Americans, they mentioned to them, yeah, did you know that Jews were selling your ancestors? They were buying and selling blacks. Well, the blacks didn't believe the whites. The blacks reckoned that the whites were lying. But the blacks decided to do their own investigation, and they were absolutely horrified by what they discovered. So, enter the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam is a black American organization. These are blacks who are Muslims, and they are run by a guy called Louis Farrakhan. And that's a photo of Farrakhan there on the right-hand side of the screen. Farrakhan is a pretty charismatic black, and you could call him a racist supremacist black, but those kinds of words don't bother me. I don't have a problem if blacks are racist. And I don't have a problem if blacks are supremacists. Let them believe whatever they want about themselves. I really don't care. All I'm interested in are the facts, and the facts are on our side. But let these blacks say and believe whatever they want. So he makes quite a good bit of money out of his church. And when I was in America in 2019 in Memphis, the white guy there who was taking me around, he said to me, and he showed me as well, he said to me that any black guy who's got half a brain starts his own church. And that is how it works in America, especially there in Memphis and in the South. But Louis Farrakhan, I think, is up in Chicago, and he runs a pretty good outfit. So Farrakhan attacks all the different people that he regards as enemies, but he's one of the few blacks who makes no bones about what Jews get up to. So the Nation of Islam, when they heard about this thing about the Jews being owners of slave ships, they then really got stuck into this thing, and they started really digging into history. And as they dug into history, they were horrified by what they discovered. They discovered the role of Jews, not only in the enslavement of the blacks, but also how Jews control the black economy in America. They produced two books, but I think there's even a third book out now. And these books were very popular. As you can see on the screenshot there, you can see that book number one at that time was already in its eighth printing, and book number two was in its fourth printing, because this information shocked the hell out of the blacks. And as they did their own digging, they uncovered more stuff, and it's all valid. So what I'm going to show you is a video. It is a video taken where Farrakhan is busy addressing his church. He is telling his black audience about an event that took place. And this event took place after these blacks had published book number one, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. So when this book came out, this book horrified the Jews, because this was coming at them from an angle they never expected. They never expected that blacks would be angry at them for what they had done to the blacks. In America, as in the rest of the Western world, the Jews have been focusing for decades and decades to turn the blacks against the whites, and for blacks to kill the whites, for blacks to hate the whites. And so this book was a whole new twist. This came out of the left field, and it was freaking the Jews out. So some senior Jewish rabbis contacted Farrakhan, and they wanted to have a meeting with him. And that is what you're about to hear. Is Farrakhan telling the story of how these Jews came and how they all had dinner together, and after the dinner, how they then had a discussion? And these Jews wanted Farrakhan to stop publishing this book, to bring this book to an end. And they were willing to make some serious offers to him. But what is really interesting in Farrakhan's story is what the Jews tell him about history. The Jews tell him that if he wants to be remembered well in history, that he must be nice to the Jews. So, here's the 9-minute video. Listen to Farrakhan telling his story. He tells it very well. And there is no reason to believe that he's lying in any way. He and his organization are the ones that produced this series of books, and this was a runaway success for them. So listen to his evening with the Jews, because then we're going to discuss some of the things that come out of this. Because in here also, you get a chance to see some of the Jewish modus operandi. You get to see how do Jews do some things behind the scenes. And here you get a nice account, a first-hand account from someone whom the Jews tried to silence. But this black decided he wasn't going to be bribed into silence. He wasn't going to let money shut him up. In his case, he had more principles than that.
After book one came out, I had a meeting with several Jewish rabbis, columnists at the home of a rabbi and one who was the former dean of rabbis in Chicago was present, and also present was the great columnist for the Chicago, I think it's the Tribune, Kupcinet, and others. And at that meeting, we had dinner. It was very lovely. You know, I mean, everybody was very nice, and I was nice too. And I'm never not nice. I treat everybody the way I want to be treated. However, after dinner, or during dinner, pardon me, the rabbi pulled out of his pocket a piece of paper and said, "Well, of course, this is a love fest, but it's going to be tough love." And he said, "This is what we expect of you if you want to be our friend." Many people, when they get to a certain level and they get an offer that is difficult to refuse because it's accompanied by a threat, they usually cave in. So this offer of friendship had terms, and these are the terms. One, Farrakhan, we need to watch you and listen to you over a protracted period of time. In other words, I'm on trial. I mean, just think of the arrogance that a black man who speaks truth to power will be on trial for a protracted period of time before I can gain their friendship. The second term, was this book, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, is a great calumny against our people. We want you to stand up and denounce this book. Third, no man in history, no one in history has ever been written of well who was an enemy of the Jewish people. You're very brilliant. You're a very gifted speaker. But if you want to be written of in history well, you have to go down in history as the friend of the Jewish people. Now, Mr. Farrakhan, you can answer now, or we can go upstairs and have some coffee and tea, and you can answer then. I said, let's go upstairs and have some coffee. It started the conversation with, you have your truth and we have ours. I recorded that. So we had coffee. Are you prepared to answer now? I said, yes, I was prepared when you asked the question. I said, first, I would like to be your friend. I said, that's why I'm here. I said, but you wanted to watch me and listen to my words and follow my deeds for a protracted period of time. Well, I respectfully say to you, that your people have done more evil to mine than we have done to you. So maybe we need to watch you for a protracted period of time. Watch your words and your deeds before we even desire to be a friend. I want you to hear this. Second, you asked me to denounce this book. I said, I'll denounce it in the morning. Because if it's false, if it's all lies, I don't want falsehood and lies attached to my name. But we only quoted Jewish historians, scholars, and rabbis. So if you want me to denounce this book as a calumny against the Jewish people, since we quoted only your people, then you stand up tomorrow and denounce every scholar that we have quoted and say that they are anti-Semitic. I said, now, I'm here because I want to be your friend. But if being your friend means that I have to deny the truth, then yours is a friendship I don't need, and yours is a friendship I don't want. I said, now you can gather all your forces. I want you to listen to me. This was spoken over 10 years ago. With witnesses that are present here. I said, you can gather all your forces and come against me. I said, but as long as I stand on truth and stand with God, I'll be the winner. And I said, you can use your influence with the government and come against me. But as long as I stand on truth and stand with God, I'll be the winner over the government of the United States of America. When I walked out, I knew the stuff was on. They weren't going to back down from what they wanted from me, and I certainly was not going to capitulate. So I wrote in my letter to Mr. Foxman that rabbis presented me with terms that no self-respecting man would submit to.
So that's an interesting video, and it's interesting to see, in this case, a black man who's willing to stand up to the Jews on his principles. But from this story, there are a couple of important points that we can pull out. Notice how the Jews operate like a group. Notice how the Jews act as a single unit. So they are representing their people, and they are now challenging him. Jews operate like a state within a state. They operate as if they are a state. The Jews don't go to him and say, listen, we're whites and, you know, this is something to do with whites. No, the Jews stand together as a Jewish unit. They're only concerned about themselves as a unit. Now, regarding three different points in here, the first one was where these Jews who represent media, etc., these Jews say to him, we need to watch you over a protracted period of time. We need to watch you, and you need to behave in a certain way. They also said to him, this is tough love. In other words, these Jews are coming to strong arm him. But it's very, very interesting that they say, we need to watch you over a protracted period of time. So in other words, he's got to watch what he says and does in public for a long period of time. He's got to watch his mouth because they are watching him. Now, isn't that interesting? This shows you how these Jews can come and meet with people in secret, and then suppose this black guy had gone with this. Then this black guy would have had to start changing what he says in public. And he would have had to change his words and change his angles and watch carefully what he says about the Jewish people. And he's got to do it in public. But nobody in the public is going to know that the Jews visited him quietly, that the Jews are putting the squeeze on him. And there are many whites who've been in organizations, all kinds of organizations, the white right, political organizations, websites, etc. And these whites have been destroyed. And in some cases, the whites just went very quiet. Or in some rare cases, the whites suddenly turned around on a dime. I think that maybe about 9 or 10 years ago, I can't remember which European country it was. I'm not sure if it was Hungary. But there was a white guy who was the number one anti-Semite in that country. I think it was Hungary. And this guy suddenly discovered that someone in his past, that in actual fact, he's of Jewish descent. So one moment he's a raving anti-Semite. The next moment, for some reason, he realizes something about his past. And the next thing is he turns around on a dime and he renounces all his previous values. this is not a good example, but the point is that this guy suddenly changed around for some reason, and he suddenly turns around and suddenly is a friend of the Jews. And there are others who've not necessarily turned around and become friends of the Jews. They've just shut their websites down, and they have very quietly disappeared from the scene, and nobody really knows why. And sometimes you'll hear rumors that they were dragged into court or something, but there is something that went on, but it's not really public, and you might pick up a rumor here and there. So the point is that Jews have got a number of methods of going behind the scenes and scaring people, threatening people, either with outright court actions or, in this case, by meeting them and telling them, listen, these are the conditions. These are the conditions we've set for you, and if you want to be our friend, this is what you need to do. But notice that they want him to say things in public and to change, most importantly, to change what he says in public. So he must stop calling the Jews satanic, etc. He must start saying nice things about the Jews. That's very important to the Jews. They want those nice things. They don't want those nice things necessarily in the face-to-face meeting. They want the nice things in public. It must be in public so that everybody can see it and everyone can hear it. That's very important. The Jews are very, very firm when it comes to what goes out in public. They are extremely ruthless about this. And this is something that all whites need to be aware of, that the Jews will fight tooth and nail over perceptions about them in public. And what do the Jews do to their enemies? We're going to talk about that shortly. So the next thing is the Jews then wanted him to go into public again and to denounce his own book, to turn around and say, this book is rubbish. He's got to turn around in public and say, you know what? I published a bunch of claptrap. I published a bunch of lies about the Jews. And even though, as he says, everything that's in the book is true, the Jews didn't care. The Jews are not interested in the truth. What the Jews are interested in is the perception that the public has about Jews. That's what's really important to them. So he must go out and make a fool of himself. And he must even go out there and he must even lie. He must even lie about his book, which is truthful. And he must rather tell lies, but nice lies, about the Jews in public. And then the Jews are okay with that. Jews don't care about the truth. Jews don't care about reality and the truth. Jews are interested in what is said in public. And all that they want is they want a never-ending stream of wonderful things said about them. That's what they want, and they demand it. Imagine if whites had to have the gumption to do such a thing. It would be unprecedented. Imagine if there was something about us that's nasty and true, and we had to go to somebody and we'd say to them, listen, we know that what you published is true, but you got to get out into the public, and you got to deny all of it, and you got to say it's a lie. You won't find any whites on the planet who would ever stoop to such a level. But here are the Jews doing it. Jewish rabbis and top Jews are doing it. All they want is a never-ending stream of praise and good stuff. And they only want people to say good things about them. They don't want anything else, and they don't care about the truth. The truth is of no interest to them whatsoever. If other people tell wonderful, beautiful lies about them, Jews are cool with that. Jews will then be their buddies. These are a people who have a total disregard for the truth and for reality. But the third and most important thing of all, in my opinion, is the Jews turn around and they say to him that nobody in history has been written of well who was an enemy of the Jewish people. Now there's something interesting. Nobody in history has been written of well who was an enemy of the Jewish people. Now this is something that I've looked into for quite a long time, and I've examined this from various angles. And this is definitely true. Those of us who know the truth about Hitler and the Germans, we know that it's a whole huge pack of Jewish lies. But we're not going to go into that now. But those of us who've done our homework and done it thoroughly, we know that they're just talking a bunch of claptrap about Hitler, and they lie about Hitler at every twist and every turn. That every chance they can get to lie about the Nazis, lie about the Germans, they do. But what is not so well known is that Jews go out there and they are constantly hunting. They are hunting in books and publications and libraries, and they are looking for things. The Jews control lots of publishing. In the English-speaking world, in the Anglo-American world, Jews probably control most of publishing. Most of publishing, most of communication. Jews know the importance of controlling these things because these are a sneaky people with an agenda of their own. They've got their own evil anti-white agenda. And even here in South Africa, I used to spend a lot of time in bookstores and even second-hand bookstores over the years, and I'd go there. And once I woke up to the truth about the Jews, I began to realize that literally everything that's in print has been touched by Jews in one way or another. That most of the English-speaking books about South Africa were published or controlled by Jews. That the English language vilification of the whites of South Africa and of apartheid, that thing is virtually exclusively Jewish. But if you go and you look in history, and I've done this many times now as I post things on my websites, and I come across stuff, and then I see that there's something nasty said about some person, some white person in the past. I remember looking into the issue of Lewis Carroll. Lewis Carroll, the great English author. Lewis Carroll is a very, very clever Englishman, and he was actually big into logic, and he was a very, very clever man. And he wrote wonderful books, and his books even had deep meaning, Alice in Wonderland, and so forth. And then I thought to myself, you know, here are some nasty things people are writing about Lewis Carroll. And then I thought to myself, let me go and see, could it be that Lewis Carroll, somewhere along the line, may have written something nasty about Jews? And I go and I have a quick look, and very quickly I see, aha, yes, he has written stuff that Jews didn't like. And I've gone through this exercise time and time again when looking at characters in history. And time and time again when I see somebody getting some kind of nasty rap, then I go and I look around and I look into that person's past, and there I find it. that somewhere at some point in time, this white person said something negative or implied something negative about Jews, and there it is. And it might be very minor, but these Jews are nasty and vindictive, and they don't know the word forgiveness. And they forgive nothing, and they come after people, and they will invent stories about people. They'll invent all kinds of lies and twisted stories about anybody they don't like. And I found that this goes all the way back hundreds of years. And it is totally true that anybody who said anything even slightly truthful or slightly could be perceived as a little bit of criticism of the Jews, you will find that that person, the Jews, have gone and they've invented, in some cases they invent, all kinds of weird stories about that person. All kinds of horrific things. And you'll find it for businessmen, for politicians, for generals, for scientists, for great authors. You'll find it all over the show. I looked into the history of the Spanish. And I didn't know that the Spanish had kicked the Jews out of Spain 500 years ago. But just by digging into stuff and following a nasty lie, a nasty, horrible lie, I then stumbled on some scientific proofs, and then I realized, oh my goodness, so that must be where this thing is coming from. These Spaniards had kicked the Jews out. And so look at all the lies that they're making up about the Spaniards. And you'll find that there were guys who were liked, like the Russian author Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and he was a Nobel Prize winner. He was noted for being a fantastic author and researcher. And then he wrote a book called 200 Years Together. And the next thing you know, that book just disappears. That book is never translated into English. It never gets to an English audience. People have had to translate it privately in order to get it out. But the Jews are hunting aggressively for anything that puts them in a bad light. So when you look at history, you need to now start looking at history carefully. Because how much of what we believe in history and conclude in history is true? If we hear that man was a bad man, that nation was an evil nation, those people in politics were evil, that writer was an evil writer, we now are going to have to go and look and filter through history to see whether this is in fact so. And I must tell you, I've been doing this for quite a number of years, and I will tell you that you are in for a bunch of surprises. On my website, I've put out my conclusions where I've found that somebody was slandered and smeared, and then I realized, no, this is actually a good guy, an honest guy, and clearly Jews are behind the smearing of this person. And the other thing from this conversation that is an important takeaway is that Jews never forgive, and Jewish hatred is forever. So Jews will slander those people and think up things to smear those people for hundreds of years. And the other thing that you'll see, which people don't notice, I'm sure people have never even thought of this, is that let's say there's a historical character, somebody who lived 400 years ago, and that's some famous person, and people liked that person or looked up to him in some way, but that person said something about the Jews or did something about the Jews. That in the modern time, now, hundreds of years later, some freaking historian or author will come and write a brand new, quotes, history about that person, but while they're writing about that person, they're busy slandering and putting lies in that book so that you begin to hate that person. Jewish hatred is forever. And these people, from what I've seen from my studies of history, when these people hate you, they will hate you forever, and every chance to come and lie about you, they won't miss it. These people have got no interest in the truth or reality. They have no interest in the truth or reality. If they hate you, they will find ways to lie about you. They'll come up with all kinds of degenerate stuff. Oh, you were crazy. Oh, you were a sexual degenerate. You were going mad from syphilis. All kinds of things. When these people hate you, they'll find ways to lie about you and to get that lie into the minds of other people. That is how Jews really work. So the bottom line for whites is, don't take history at face value. You're going to have to look at history and study it properly and see who really are the good guys and the bad guys. And if you hear that everybody's concluded that that person is evil or bad, you're going to have to go and do your own homework to check, is that really true? Because maybe 9 times out of 10, maybe it's just that that person was onto the Jews or said something about the Jews, or that nation said something about the Jews or did something about the Jews, and that is why they're getting a bad rap. It's that simple. So, remember, Jews have sullied history in the same way that they sully everything that they touch, and whenever they get a chance, they will pervert it, they'll change it, they'll lie about it, etc. So you can't just take everything at face value, and you're going to have to revisit other civilizations, other kings, other people from the past, people, nations, groups from the past, and draw your own conclusions. And you may find that, especially if they're white, you may find that 9 times out of 10, they were pretty cool people and they were actually pretty okay. And in some cases, they were actually freaking awesome people. And I've discovered that with all these people that they slander. People like Lewis Carroll, etc. Even Napoleon. And then, of course, at the top of the list, Hitler. You can't get an honest discussion about Hitler because they're just busy freaking out all the time. So, to get the facts about Hitler, you're going to have to read German sources. You're going to have to look at proper, reliable sources that are not touched by Jews. That's the bottom line. But be aware that Jews control history and Jews will lie forever. These people never stop lying. And when they hate you, they will invent all kinds of lies to tell everybody about you. That's the modus operandi of Jews.
And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, you know you don't.